Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here. I particularly appreciate being given the soft task of following Dan. So I'm going to have to ask you to imagine that there are some corners of the world where everything doesn't turn out quite as peacefully, and Rahm Emanuel isn't the guy you have to face on the other side. We have, as people understand, I think this morning's conversation showed it very clearly, we have four forces which are doing everything they can to eliminate freedom in the net, though they may not want to speak of it that way. There are governments deeply concerned about the possible loss of control that comes from the freedom to tell stories any way we want and escape the framing that power puts around things. There are so-called content owners who believe that their bits are sacred, and the possibility that those bits might be copied by anybody justifies controlling the net down to each endpoint at every eyeball and every eardrum. There are data miners who are the industry of the future, the industry of the 21st century. Their job is knowing what you want before you want it so they can sell you to somebody. And all that is required is that they read your email and watch every party you go to and check every friendly conversation that you have and have arranged to make that possible. And the fourth are the network operators who are turning the end-to-end net that my dear friend Larry Lessig wrote about 10 years ago into the everything must come to us and all your life are belong to us and aren't you happy people. And among the four, well, we have platforms. We have devices that won't allow you to take the ad off the web page or prevent you from sharing a song or prevent you from speaking your mind. And we may have all of those at increasing levels of intensity more or less forever. Because we may be losing the autonomy of personality. When you have lived your entire life sharing everything, it may not have occurred to you that human personality used to be created internally. That the struggle of the individual, shall we use the word soul, to understand itself and its place in the universe is an internal struggle, not to be decided by an advertiser and not to be adjusted by an intermediary. That's the Protestant revolution that made freedom of thought in the world. Let us suppose that the single greatest offense against freedom of thought that ever existed was the burning of the Library of Alexandria. But let us suppose that the second greatest harm that could be done to freedom of thought is to discover that the Library of Alexandria has been recreated at KGB headquarters. It's a shame to build a prison and torture people to get them to inform on their neighbors, when you can just have centralized social networking and everybody will do it for you. So now we have a problem, which is our net has been turned against us. I appreciate that it is not only against us and that the turn may not be permanent. But we have lost too much already. And we lost it because we lost anonymity. In 1995, I was working with a gentleman called Philip Zimmerman who wanted strong public key encryption to be possible. We wanted it to be possible mostly because we wanted people to be able to keep secrets from government in the 21st century, but we thought a few trillion dollars worth of e-commerce would also be a good idea. And there were a lot of people on Earth trying to stop us, and they weren't just the United States government, they were a bunch of people who have made those trillions of dollars, but they didn't see it that way back then. And we were in a debate at Harvard Law School with the then Deputy Attorney General of the United States, Jamie Gorelick, and Stuart Baker, formerly the General Counsel of the National Security Agency, and Danny Weitzner, who now works in the White House, and me. And we spent the afternoon back and forth on freedom of encryption. And over dinner at the Harvard Faculty Club, Stuart, who was out of government back then, he has been in government since. Stuart said, well, he said, among us, now that it's just the port and the walnuts, We'll let our hair down and say, we're not going to prosecute your client, Mr. Zimmerman. We've been conducting a holding action against public key encryption for 15 years, and it worked real well, but it's almost over now. We'll give up gracefully. And then he looked around the table, and he dropped his voice, and he said, but no one here cares about anonymity, do they? And a cold chill went up my spine. And I thought, okay, Stuart, that's the next 15 years of your life and mine. You're going to try and end anonymity on Earth, and I'm going to try and keep it. Because without anonymity, the human race will not be human anymore. But that's not the net we have. The net we have is increasingly monitored, measured, and surveilled everywhere by everybody all the time, or at least by somebody who's doing it for somebody else and would answer a subpoena if they got one. Fortunately, there are some things we can do to fix it. Primarily, the problem is that all the routing in the net is done by people other than us, working for people other than us, who have other than our interests at heart. Maybe they're trying to make a buck selling bits. Maybe they have sacred bits they need to move. Maybe they are governments trying to stay in power. But whatever they are, the way they're routing isn't made for us. In the first place, they like email because it's a postcard, and they don't want us to make it more private. Please don't encrypt your email. We're a generation past the availability of strong encryption for every human being, and everybody's still using unencrypted email. They love it that we have to allow deep packet inspection because all our packets are sitting right there and you don't have end-to-end encryption in the net, and so somebody's deep packet inspection doesn't require anything more than a strong pair of glasses. They love it that we don't really have anonymity, that we're checked everywhere all the time. Who's this at IP address such and such? Hell, I don't know. Let's go ask the guy who has IP address such and such who was using it recently, and they get told. But we've been making free software for almost 25 years now, and we made free software so that liberty would be possible. So we have a lot of tricks in our bag, and those of us who are good with computers, we use those tricks all the time. Without strongly encrypted, end-to-end, untappable voice over IP, my law firm couldn't work. But I use stuff made out of bare metal by guys who know how. We need to give that to everyone. Here's how the net can be fixed a little bit. I'm not going to tell you it can be fixed completely. I'm going to tell you it can be fixed a little bit. We need smart routers that work for us. Think about that Wi-Fi router in your house or in your business, the one that is the last stop between you and the world of the public net. Suppose that router, instead of being fairly stupid and simply delivering you to your ISP, were pretty smart. Suppose it automatically encrypted and decrypted your email and kept track of the keys you need. Suppose it conducted encrypted backups to your friends so you could never lose any data anymore. Suppose it kept the computers in your house safe from the rampaging 12-year-olds of Petersburg and others who like knocking over computers made by, I won't even name their name, you know them well. Suppose it gave you a better Skype, free telephone calls everywhere all the time to all your friends. Suppose it gave you a better Facebook, one in which you share between you and your friends, but you don't put some Zucker thing in the middle. No one great big database with 500 million people in it. All because your router knows better how to serve you than the boxes on the other side know how to serve the interests of those people. This is it. We're going to drown in hardware like this over the next 10 years. A little plug, a little cable, and you're done. Strong enough to be a server, small enough to run on batteries, simple enough to put in your pocket, to carry anywhere, to put wherever you trust that the box will belong to you, and anybody who wants anything that's in it can get a search warrant. All we need is some free software. I don't want to make boxes. I want to make software. Because software can be free. When you make the first bit, you have 1 billion bits. Freedom Box, the project I am working on these days, along with the lawyering I do and teaching and what have you. Freedom Box is the software stack for routers that serve you. For boxes you can buy at a small price to replace a wireless router in your home the next time you need to, that will provide you with services that serve privacy to you and your friends, that will provide you with the encryption that you need to maintain a decent level of secrecy, to provide you with a way to offer your friends in the People's Republic of China free surfing that nobody can control, that will provide you with mesh networking that you could use if, heaven forbid, the network operator should decide to shut your city down for the sake of public order and good control over citizens. A box that could save your life if you want to organize a demonstration in a place where people who organize demonstrations get shot. We want to aim this software at the generation of chips that are not just inside boxes like these, but also inside set-top boxes and internet radios and mobile phones and pretty much everything else by 2020. Because the great big water-boiling data center of the early 21st century will not be long with us anymore. We are going small. We are going green. We are going low power. Which means that we're about to have a generation of hardware that we can control with the software we made free in order to protect freedom. Left to their own devices, the governments, the data miners, the content owners, and those network operators would deprive us of anonymity, and in doing so, they would deprive us of identity. But they're not going to be left to their devices. They're going to be left to our devices. And our devices are going to be about freedom. For years now, I've been representing clients who use the phrase free software. And every once in a while, when somebody else used the phrase open source software, some of my clients used to get a little hot under the collar. Because they thought it was really important to keep the word free in there, because it was free as in freedom. And freedom matters. Openness isn't freedom. Lots of things are open, but only freedom is free as in freedom, they said, and they were right. This is the moment where technology we spent a generation building for political purposes begins to serve the political purpose for which it was built. We made software to create freedom. Our strategy was make freedom, embed freedom in everything, turn freedom on. This is the moment. This is when we begin. I hope in a year from now, it will be possible to say not just, here's the box, but here's the box with Freedom Box inside. It's just hacking. We know how. It's mostly a matter of taking what we already have and putting it together right, but partly it's a matter of making it in a way that everyone can use, so it isn't so geeky, so it's simple and clean. So it does for you what all that simple, clean, wonderful technology does for the people who own you with it. Every morning, I see people wearing dog collars, reporting their location every 90 seconds to Stephen P. Jobs. Every day, I see people wearing a device that the KGB would have been delighted to issue to everyone if only they had known how. We have to stop. We need a lever. With a lever and a place to stand, we can move the world. Thank you very much.